Let's take your Bible this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Title for this morning's message is on the back of your bulletin. Riding for the brand. Romans chapter 12, first two verses. Those of you that have remember the days when we did a little bit of a cowboy ministry and area arena ministries, the cornerstone or the foundational verse for that ministry was Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a whole lot that's contained in there, and what I'm going to get at today is I'm going to spring off that verse and talk to you about the topic at hand on Stampede Sunday, riding for the brand. We want to talk through that a little bit. I want to give you some little things that riding for the brand means and what it ought to mean to us here today. Then we'll reappear back in Romans chapter 12 for a brief moment there. And then I want to relate that to some things nationally. I want to relate that to some things for us as Christians kingdom-wide. So kind of an ambitious project this morning as we make the trail through there. Anybody ever heard the term riding for the brand? Originated back in the early days. Actually, branding originated over 2,000-3,000 years ago. People determined and figured out that if you could brand things, then other people have a hard time stealing it and turning it into something else. Riding for the brand, during the glamorous cowboy and western and Indian days, was a term that was widely used and widely known. During the days of free range, cattle kind of went where they wanted to go, and so ranchers had to hire cowhands to keep them where they were supposed to be. Well, all of you that know cows know that they go pretty much where they want to go. Unless you're on them 24/7, 365, they're going to wander. And so when they wander and there's no fences, then at times it becomes very difficult to figure out whose is whose and where they belong. And so branding was an important part of that process. Branding is the process, obviously, of traditionally heating up an iron and with a symbol in it and burning that into the hide of an animal. Today they use freeze branding, some use chipping, and some use tagging sort methods today, but none of them is effective as branding, and branding is still widely used for those that are in the cattle business. Branding makes it easy to pick them out. It's visual. You can see, you know what you're looking at. You got a chip and you got something that's a reading something, it's going to be hard to find the one you're looking for and keep them distinguished. And so branding still is a very, very good way of being able to sort things out. Now, riding for the brand came about because these hands were hired on, and that brand that was used was widely known. There's a lot of the brands that are still in use today. And there's some of you here today that if you saw those brands, you'd recognize them right off as going to certain ranches. I mean, King Ranch has a distinctive brand. The Wagoner Ranch has a distinctive brand. The O'Connor Ranch here has a distinctive brand. The Pitchfork, 4-6s. A lot of these brands are still operational and in use in this particular day. And so what happened is that when you signed on, then the act of signing on and being a part of that particular ranch meant that you rode for that particular brand. And there was a lot that went with that. That meant that there was a great measure of loyalty to the owner of the ranch. That means there was a great deal of loyalty to other hands that were working on that ranch, and loyalty to the land itself, the land that was bordered, bounded by that particular brand. And so when you signed on to ride for the brand, you signed on to be loyal to the owner, to the other hands, and that was that held the stock and the holdings of that particular ranch. Riding for the brand meant something. It wasn't to be taken lightly. There were lives lost over brands. Branding was an important aspect of the entirety of that lifestyle in that way. So ranches would brand their cattle, made it easy to spot and difficult to another cattle, made it difficult, but it didn't make it impossible. History has recorded more than one fatality over having cows that tend to more than one calf at a time. And the man with a sticky rope got generally hung from one. And knew that you were in trouble when the neighbor's cows hang around your calf pen and bawl. So branding solved a lot of problems with a lot of things. And cowboys got associated with the brand that they rode for. And when a fella hired on, he was said to be riding for that brand. And that means he was pledging loyalty, his life to the brand. You pledged your loyalty, you pledged your life to that brand. And those that you signed up with did the same for you. And the owner did the same for those that signed up under his brand. It was more than being just an employee. It meant much more than just being someone that worked on a ranch. It meant taking pride in what you do. It meant finishing what you start. It meant doing what has to be done. Being tough, but being fair. It meant keeping a promise when you make one. Talking less, saying more. Remembering that some things aren't for sale. Knowing where to draw the line. And living every day with courage. These are some things that it meant when you signed on to ride for the brand back in the day. I want to walk through those for just a minute, because some of these things, as we look at who we're serving today and the way that we serve the one that we're supposed to be serving today, is falling on hard times, it seems, because we're not really riding for the brand like we ought to be. Riding for the brand of Christ is an important principle. And if we're going to do that, then some things are going to have to be picked back up. Priorities are going to have to be made. Like taking pride in your work. Taking pride in your work. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 18, 19. Scripture says, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." What that's talking about is that we ought to be taking pride, a measure of pride in the work that we're doing. It may not be what you want to hear, but God's still demanding our best. He demands your best. He wants your best today. He did not invest Himself in you. He did not lavish His grace on you. He did not spend everything on you in order for you to waste your efforts, to waste time. Are you doing your best today for the Lord? Are you doing your best? Taking pride in your work. Are you the best worker in your office? Are you the best worker in your plant? Are you the best worker in your shop? Are you the best student? Are you the best teacher? Are you the best singer, the best writer, the best worshiper? Are you the best giver, the best shopper that you can be? I think it's time that some of us impose the same standards that we expect of others on ourselves. Amen? How many of you want the best surgeon when you need a surgeon? How many of you want the best mechanic when your car goes down? Who wants the best contractor when something goes wrong at the house? Well, of course you do. Riding for the brand means working harder than is expected of you. Aggravates me at times, even when here at a faith-based place here, when we hire folks and bring them in, and boy, you got to line them up to see if they're moving. Got to put their face against the glass to see if they're breathing. It ought not to be so. There's expectations that the Lord has of us. And so we need to get back to taking pride in our work. My grandpa was a fence builder. Worked ranches and fence built all of his life. And I remember as a young boy going out with him to work on the fence line. And being out there all day with him, my job was simply to clean out the hole. And he kept me busy all day long cleaning out the hole. And I remember one particular fence line we were on. We drove out in the middle of nowhere on the back fence row on this place. Hadn't seen another human all day. Out in the brush. We're digging along there, going along, and he comes up on a rock hole. Now, we're in the middle of nowhere. And his bar is pinging in that rock hole. And I look over there about a foot away, and it looks like to me that there's some good dirt over there. And I asked him, I said, Papa, why don't we just move it right over here? He said, because that fence line won't be straight. And I said, ain't nobody going to see it. He said, I will. Which leads me to that other point that I just talked about just a moment ago. That point where we say, well, we need to talk less and say more. Talk less and say more. Sure do got a lot of talking, a lot of mouthing going on. And most of it's not mountain to nothing. There's far too little thought being put into what's coming out of people's mouth these days. And it reveals what's in the heart of a man. And what I'm seeing that's coming out of mouths anymore sure isn't telling me that there's much going on in a heart that's good. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, listen to this. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. James chapter 3 in the second verse there it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Talking less and saying more is about actions speaking louder than words. And folks, that's riding for the brand, is what that's about. The third principle that we talked about was finishing what you start. Finish what you start. Luke chapter 14 has a little picture of that. Luke chapter 14, looking at verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. There's a cost to riding for the brand. Hen and a sow walking along, visiting one morning. Hen turned to the sow and said, you know what, that rancher there's been awful good to us. So why don't we first thing in the morning make some ham and eggs for him? And that sow turned to the hen, said, that's easy for you to say. For you, that's a contribution. For me, that's a total commitment. Are you contributing to the cause of Christ, or are you committed to him? Boy, there's a difference in the way that comes out. There's a difference in the way that that ought to play out in our life. You know what? It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. Huh? Oh, you got to have a good start, but I'm going to tell you what, it's not all about that when it's all said and done. There's far too many starters and very few finishers left. Far too many. Far too many. Oh, how little it takes to get us started at times. And how little it takes to get us stopped as well. Riding for the brand means finishing what you start. The fourth principle to riding to the brand is this: do what needs to be done. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, looking at the 17th verse here. This is a group that went back to build the wall in Jerusalem. It says in verse 17, they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand he held a weapon. Had a trowel in one hand and had a sword in the other hand. And that's why they carried stuff and bore burdens and went about their business and had to watch over their families and everything that took place. They were watching for the enemy at the same time as enemies of the wall as they're working along, and they're building on one side and being vigilant on the other side, doing whatever has to be done in order for the work to get done. Riding for the brand isn't sometimes glamorous. You look at it in the Westerns and it looks great. Riding for the brand means fixing windmills, cleaning water troughs, mending fence, building fence, stacking hay, all that glamorous stuff. Doing what has to be done. That's what riding for the brand means. Doing what has to be done when it needs to be did. A fifth principle that I just mentioned. Keep the promises that you make. Keep the promises that you make. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 4. Notice the first word. When thou vowest a vow unto God. Not if, but when. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. What's the principle? Keep the promise you make. Don't shoot your mouth off if you're not going to follow through. When, not if. When, not if. That implies that we're to make vows, that we're to make promises, that we're to follow through on those that we make. When, not if. Riding for the brand means making and keeping some promises. Another principle: some things ain't for sale. Know where to draw the line. Some things ain't for sale. Loyalty to the owner, that's not for sale. Loyalty to the others that are riding with you, that's not for sale. Loyalty to the land, that's something that's not for sale. Judges chapter 3, I remember a guy there that wasn't for sale. Judges chapter 3, one whole verse talks about this guy. One whole verse, chapter 3, verse 31. One of the judges, it says, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. There's a guy that decided that the land he is standing on wasn't for sale. The land he stood on wasn't for sale. He stood out there in the middle of that field. Philistines rained down upon him, come to take the crops that he had invested his time in, his life in, crops that his family needed, land that was going to provide for his people, and he stood in the middle of that field with an ox goad, killed 600 of them when they come for it. He said, this ain't for sale. The line's drawn, and it's drawn right here. I'm not moving. I'm staying right here. I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to stand for what it is that we need right here. It's about having the character. It's about having integrity. Standing when the world seems to be against you. Some things ain't for sale. That's what riding for the brand means too. Some things just ain't for sale. Another principle that leads to is to live every day with courage. Live every day with courage. Joshua chapter 1. Ninth verse. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Principle that follows that is that it's never wrong to do right. God wants us to do right. Have the courage to stand. Have the courage to stand for the right thing. Riding for the brand. Riding for the brand. You ever think about this brand right here? Huh? That's a brand right there. We sign up for that. Huh? What makes a young soldier get up from his belly and charge a hill that he has no chance of taking? Well, one thing is he can't let that guy on his right and that guy on his left do it by themselves. So when you ride for the brand, you not only ride for the owner, you ride for the one on your right and you ride for the one on your left. And because all of that's rooted in the land, all of that rooted in that land that we're loyal to. What makes a man fall on a grenade that's pitched into the center of his unit? Because he's the closest one to it. And somebody's got to do it. And today it's him. That's riding for the brand. Riding for the owner and riding for the one to the right and riding for the one to the left and the land. Huh? Riding for the brand means something. The brand means something. What makes a man bolt from cover and go across open ground and drag a wounded soldier to cover? Loyalty to the owner. Loyalty to the hands that are on either side of him. Loyalty to the land. It's because he's riding for the brand. It's one of the reasons that so many of us take it personal when somebody wants to come into a stadium and put one knee down whenever this thing's waved over that stadium. You know, there's always going to be bird dolls. Huh? It's always going to be the bird dolls of this world that are going to run off, and turn their back and cut and run. Thank God we live amongst a bunch of men that are men who will ride for the brand. Always going to be those folks there, but I'm going to tell you this. The minute you start kneeling down and acting like some kind of a fool, when the brand is raised that we're to be loyal to, I'm questioning your motive. You want to talk about injustice and all this sort of thing? Call a press conference. If you're well known, somebody will show up and you'll get to have your day. But until then, ride for the brand. A lot of men covered a lot of open ground to give us the right to stand and sit here free today. Riding for the brand means something. See, it meant something back in the old day. Still ought to mean something to us today. Nationally, on the ranch, nationally, it ought to mean something to us. It ought to mean something to us beyond that as well. There's another brand. But that one right there symbolizes and represents. And it's the main one I'm talking about here today. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Twentieth verse. It says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and came to this earth because He loved us. And when He got here, He found a whole bunch of people that were acting like a whole bunch of heathen. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us and He came and He gave Himself for us, bought us with a price. And the minute that we said yes to Him and no to self, the minute that we were born again, that we were saved, redeemed, that precise moment we signed up to ride for the brand. And all those little principles that we talk about with ranch hands and with folks that represent our nation and everything else, the moment we talk about all of those principles, every part of that is wound up and being bought with a price. That we're to glorify God in everything that we say, think, and do. Riding for the brand means something. It means something. It means loyalty to the owner. The owner's Jesus Christ. He bought and paid for you. It means loyalty to the hand that's on your right and the hand that's on your left. Loyalty to the other hands that have signed up. Loyalty to the others that he's bought too. There's loyalty in that. And friend, there's loyalty too to the land. What land? Oh, how about Beulah land? A land that's fairer than day. A land that's coming. A new city adorned as a bride coming down out of heaven. There's loyalty to all of these things that are demanded. That are demanded when we come into the kingdom of God. He's the owner. We're the hands. The land's coming. Question. Are you saved? You born again today? Do you know whom you have believed in? Are you persuaded that he's able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day to come? Are you persuaded of these things? You're saved, huh? And what kind of hand are you? What kind of hand are you today? You doing your best? Huh? Got your mouth moving and your feet standing still? What kind of hand are you? Are you making a hand? Huh? Are you doing what needs to be done just because it needs to be did? See, all these principles apply now. All of these things apply in each and every one of our lives. Some of you have never signed on today. Some of you hadn't signed on. I guess you're not fully convinced that the end is going to be the end. Maybe some of you are convinced that you're going to make it out of this thing alive like nobody else has. Huh? You don't have to worry about that yet because you don't have any gray hair. There'll be time to worry about that on down the road. Well, then the old devil's got you right where he wants you. Because when you say no to Jesus, you say yes to him. Some of you aren't saved today. You never signed on. The Lord's done his job. He's offered you the job. Offered you the opportunity to be a part of the brand. Given everything, done everything. Made every way that need to be made. He's offered you what you need to be offered. A roof, 3 squares a day. That's about all he offers. Huh? He never did promise us a rose garden. He just said, I'm going to take care of you. You're mine. You need a roof, I'll provide that. You need clothing, I'll provide that. If you need food, I'll give you some of that. Everything else is what we put on to it. He just promised to meet our needs. So Stampede Sunday, the question that I really have and the one I want to leave you with is just simply this. Are you riding for the brand today? Are you riding for the brand today? How many of you are born again here this morning? Baptized after you got saved? Joined a church after that. Boy, the hands get fewer and fewer as we go along. Huh? That's what I'm talking about. It's easy to get started sometimes. But it don't take much to get you stopped sometimes either. Easy to get started. Maybe you need to pick up where you left off and get moving forward, eh? If some of you have been saved that haven't followed through in believer's baptism, maybe you ought to just take another step. Those of you that have done both of those have not darkened the door of a church or decided that that's not important in your life. Maybe you ought to start there and take another step and move forward. Ride for the brand. Get moving. Get that loyalty back in view. Get things moving in the right direction one more time. Amen? Some of you had never got started today. I'd encourage you to get started this morning. get started, because we're not guaranteed another day on the planet. And the planet's not guaranteed another day either. And so we need to get started while there's time to get started. Get started while there's time to get started. And then carry on. Ride for the brand. Ride for the brand.